Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9 months calendar year 2025 earnings conference call of John Cockerell India Limited. Before we begin, please note that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Francio David Martino, Chairman. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here with all of you, our investors, partners and colleagues who continue to place their trust in John Cockerell India Limited. I'm joined today by our Managing Director, Frédéric Martin, and our CFO, Marc Dumont. Let me share a brief update on how GCIL is progressing. The first 9 months of 2025 have marked a period of steady recovery and disciplined execution for us. Each quarter has shown clear improvement in our key performance indicators, such as order entry, revenue, profitability, and cash flow, reflecting that our turnaround plan is gaining traction. The direction is right, and the progress is real. In the third quarter, our order intake reached about 5.86 million rupees, nearly 10 times what we recorded in the first quarter. Our order backlog almost doubled to over 11,000 million rupees. These figures give us good visibility for the fiscal year 2026 to come and underline a growing sense of confidence among our customers in GCIL's capabilities. Our recent win with GSWDFE at around 2,700 million, Tata Steel at 800 million, Godavari Power and ISTAT at 500 million, Jindal India at 400 million, and GSW Steel at 1,750 million are encouraging. Together, these orders reflect the growing trust of leading steel producers in our capabilities. They reinforce our relevance in India's evolving steel landscape and demonstrate that GCIL is steadily re-establishing itself as a dependable technology and project partner. Operationally, our momentum has improved. Revenue growth accelerated from roughly 7.5% in the second quarter to over 18% in the third, supported by better project execution, improved coordination, and stronger site readiness. EBITDA rose sequentially by around 13%, reaching approximately 1,120 million rupees, while our cash position more than doubled from 742 million in quarter one to over 1,470 million in quarter three. While these trends are positive, we remain realistic about the external environment. The global steel sector continues to navigate a mixed outlook. Europe faces energy and cost pressures. China remains subdued, and the U.S. market is holding steady through infrastructure and energy transition investments. Against this backdrop, India and Southeast Asia continue to stand out as growth regions with sustained momentum in infrastructure, construction, and automotive sectors. JCIL is positioned well within this shift. Our technology-led and sustainability-driven approach, supported by the global expertise of the John Cockerell Group, enables us to deliver efficient, value-driven solutions for our customers. India's steel story continues to be resilient, supported by double-digit growth in both production and consumption up to September 2025. Government initiatives like Minister Gati Shakti, the National Infrastructure Pipeline, and Make in India are creating a strong foundation for capacity expansion and modernization. For us, India remains not only our operational base, but also the anchor for our global growth plan. On the project side, execution continues at a healthy pace. Projects such as CCAOL, acid regeneration plant, one has reached final acceptance, while plan two is progressing smoothly. Tata Steel Kalinganagar has successfully commissioned its galva annealing process, and similar milestones are being achieved at AMNS Hazira and Jindal, India. We have also received FAT for BLCGL. We have also broadened our reach to new orders. The DC, the GSWJFE electrical steel project in Nashik, India's first TRGO electrical steel facility, is a landmark win. We are also supplying advanced technology to Tata Steel Thin Plate Division, Godavari Power's new integrated steel plant, and GSW Copoli's new coating and heating line. Collectively, this project enhances our position across the full steel value chain, from pickling and rolling to coating and regeneration. Our value service segment, which includes revamps, spares, and services, continue to build momentum. The upcoming World Coating Shed at Taloja, to be inaugurated early next year, will integrate advanced coating expertise with DCL capabilities and introduce India's first HBAF coating technology, a significant step in localizing advanced coating solutions. Safety continues to be our foremost priority. Our Taloja facility has now completed over 4,450 consecutive safe working days, an achievement mirrored at all our locations and sites. So somebody is connected and open microphone. If you could please close it. No, 2025 has also been a year of structural realignment for DCL. We have initiated the process of consolidating John Cockerill's global metals activities as a single India-based listed entity. This move will make our operations more focused, transparent, and aligned to grow. Why India? Well, because the fundamentals are strong. The geopolitical stability, industrial momentum, and supportive government policies, such as Make in India, the PLI scheme, and the green hydrogen mission, make India a natural hub for our global metals business. As part of this transformation, our board has approved the acquisition of John Cockerill Metals International in Belgium, a 100% equity buyout from our parent company. Once completed, it will make that the Belgian entity a wholly owned subsidiary of DCL, further strengthening India's role as the operational and strategic center for John Cockerill Metals worldwide. The acquisition will take place in two parts. Part one entails John Cockerill SA transferring its capital metal business and share in its certain German, John Cockerill UK, and Chinese, John Cockerill Industry Technology, subsidiary to John Cockerill Metals International SA. While part two consists of John Cockerill SA closing its U.S. affiliate for John Cockerill North America to transfer its shareholding in its subsidiary, John Cockerill Industry North America, to John Cockerill Metals International SA. We are advancing this transition with care through a phased, transparent, and well-governed approach. Our focus remains on sustaining financial discipline, operational control, and clear communication with all stakeholders. As we enter the final quarter of fiscal year 2025, we do so with cautious optimism. The fundamentals of our business have improved, and the order visibility we have today gives us confidence heading into fiscal year 2026. We are not declaring victory, but we are on firmer ground. Our task ahead is to maintain this trajectory, convert our strong order pipeline into efficient execution, and strengthen our foundation for sustained profitability. To all our shareholders, partners, and employees, thank you for your continuous confidence and support. Together, we are steering GCL through a disciplined recovery and toward a stronger, more resilient future. Thank you. I now open the floor for your questions, and I would like to apologize for the background noise. Somebody has kept his microphone open, so hopefully that can be closed off, and let's take place to the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manan Poladia from MKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on posting a good set of numbers. I have two questions for you, sir. First, regarding the equity stake acquisition that we've just announced, if you could give us some color as to the revenue numbers and the margin numbers for the companies that are being acquired as a part of this acquisition, both steps included. And I think the second question is, I think you just spoke about ArcelorMittal, Nippon Steel, Hazira. If you could give some color as to what portion of that project is something that we are going to bid for, I think that would be great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for your question. I am clear with the first question. Can you repeat the second one, please, regarding IMNS Hazira?
My question was, sir, I think it's a large project, 80,000 crore in the first tranche and 70 in the other, I believe. I just want to understand what portion of that project is equipment that we sell and that we're going to bid for, because I know that AMNS is a long-term partner of our company, even in Belgium, right?
All right. Thank you very much for the question. Now it's clear. So regarding the revenue of the acquisition, the figures will be disclosed after the approval ballot of the minority shareholders, and then we will be able to give the figures, but it is a decent multiplicator factor we will apply to revenue, which will be around 2.5 to 3.5 times. On the second question on IMNS Hazira, it is indeed a large project. I think it may be the largest contract we have got in the history of the company in India. And this contract is very well advanced, and basically we have delivered especially two key technology lines for IMNS to be really ahead of their competition. The first one is the continuous galvanizing line number 3, which is already commissioned. And the second line, which is under commissioning, is the CAGL, which is it's a combined line between annealing, and galvanizing. This line is the biggest of the two, and the length of this line is beyond 800 meters. It is a really huge construction work which has been successfully executed by our team in India.
Right, sir, I understand. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I have 2-3 questions since I'm slightly new to the company. So just wanted to understand, in the last conference call, you have mentioned that order pipeline is almost like 40,000 crore, and even spares and larger revamping kind of projects, we are evaluating 9 to 10,000 crore of projects. So this is, if you can help me understand, is this the market potential right now which we are evaluating, or these are one-to-one discussions happening with the client, and roughly maybe a 10-15% of this can actually get converted into the order book over, let's say, next 1 or 2 years? How does this work? I mean, how should I read this potential pipeline? That's my first question. Secondly, in terms of margin, so this quarter we have reported a 12-13% margin. So just wanted to understand historically, on an annualized basis, we have done 6-7% EBITDA margin. So what kind of trajectory we should expect over a medium term? And my last question is regarding our two technologies, so JVD and Voltron. So we mentioned in our presentation, both of these are jointly co-developed with ArcelorMittal. So what is the understanding between our company and them? Will there be any royalty payment or something, we can sell it without any royalty to the third party? Those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you for your very interesting questions, and I would be more than happy to answer to these ones. First of all, on the pipeline, we have is solid. We always have a prospective look on the projects to come for the next 2 to 3 years. So the figures you have mentioned, which are the ones we have communicated during the last investor call, are correct and have been even reinforced over time, because we see that the market is really very dynamic currently. And not only the pipeline is solid, but the conversion rate we have on projects into contract is extremely high, is superior to our competitors. And that's also explaining why we have solid results and why we have pretty much solid confidence, although conservative perspective for the future. So coming to the margin question, 12% margin is a very good result compared to the history of the company. And the trajectory we expect in the next years to come is positive, without giving you any figures, which I can't, but we are very confident that we can perform on that level for a certain period of time. So the margin trajectory will be really depending on the product mix we are going to offer on the market, and you mentioned service spare parts revamping, which is a high margin activity, and the company is doing everything it can to improve and increase this activity in the future. So that's something which is also giving us a good level of confidence. On the point of the technologies and the relationship with ArcelorMittal, extremely good. The company has very strong track record in the history, especially in Europe, of collaborating on developing R&D projects together. So on JVD, we have acquired the license, and this has been already settled and budgeted. I would say the level of license fees compared to the prospective are extremely reasonable. In terms of Voltron, it would be a different approach, because John Cook will intend to enter into a common company with Arcelor to commercialize Voltron. Therefore, there will be no royalty fees involved in whatsoever direction for that technology. Hoping this has answered your question.
If I am allowed, just a follow-up. So, Voltron, you mentioned that we'll be doing through a common company. Is my understanding correct that the company, since we are acquiring the entire metal business, JVD technology will come to us, but Voltron is not.
At that point of time, I cannot answer that question. Nevertheless, we are under clarification process with our partner Arcelor and internally with the promoter, and we will come back to you most probably in the next call with a clear answer on that.
Okay, fine. That's it from my side. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investments. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Okay. Congratulations on outstanding numbers. So my question is, who is your global competition for these two technologies, Voltron and the other one you are planning to launch in India?
I have to apologize. I couldn't hear. The sound is pretty far. Mark and Fred, did somebody had a better understanding of the question?
No, we did not get a chance to know you there.
Sorry,
Parimal,
if you could repeat the question, please.
My question is, who are our competitors for these two technologies which are launching, Voltron and other ones? The competition in India and globally would be which company?
So, Voltron is a disrupting technology in the field of iron making, which is a field dominated by the blast furnace technology and direct reduction technology. So we are entering with the electrolysis direct reduction, which is a complete new innovation. So nobody has entered the market here. We believe, despite two other projects we see as competitive compared to Voltron, we consider ourselves to be advanced compared to the others, and we believe we have the best chances to enter the market commercially in the next 18 to 24 months with the first commercial project.
Sir, the launch of the technology, give you some current terms of EBITDA margins going forward would be in which range?
You can just
give us a range. That's also
right. So I cannot give a ballpark figure in terms of margin, but what I can tell you is qualitatively, margins on new technologies, and especially when there is very less competition and where competitive technologies are less interesting in terms of operational expenses, you can, of course, claim a better margin. So I cannot give you a figure, but I can tell you this is one of the drivers for the future profitability of the company.
Would it be better than the mid-20s margin, sir?
It is difficult to say at this stage. Our hope is that it is indeed contributing to a better margin in the future.
Thank you, another best please.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Tejas Mehta from Bajaj Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congratulations on the great set of numbers. Just wanted to understand what is some valuation metrics used for acquiring the group companies. Is it like multiple of sale or is it EV by EBITDA, and what kind of multiples were considered in the same to arrive at the 50 million value?
Thank you for your question. Yes, thank you. Thank you for your question, and thank you for the congratulations to the team, and I will be happy to convey the message to our employees. On your question, the methods we have used to evaluate the different companies which will integrate in case of favorable and positive ballots is the discounted cash flow methodology, which has been adjusted then by the net working capital.
Okay. Fine. So what
so no multiples involved.
Okay. Great. So can you, if you don't mind, share some of the numbers at which these subsidiaries are in terms of revenue at least? If not, more details can be shared.
Yes, I will repeat the answer I gave previously on that aspect. So I cannot give exact figures at that stage, but you can expect the multiple of 2 to 2.5, 3. So basically, you can expect an addition of at least 100 million euro revenue.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Kush Ganga from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible, sir? Hello?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes.
Right. My first question is, can you mention about the commercialization for the new two technologies? When do we expect commercialization? And also with respect to their size, what kind of projects in terms of size they can be or would be? Second question would be on fundraise. We have mentioned about raising funds. What would that be for, main purpose? Would that be for possible commercialization of these technologies or for payment of the acquisition? What would that, the fundraise be for and the quantum that we are looking at? And the third and the last question would be, what kind of benefits in terms of this acquisition, if you can mention in some detail, or say, for example, we are mentioning that we want to consolidate the metal business in the Indian company, right? So what kind of synergies or benefits would be possible? Some detail on that. And my last question would be on the capacity that we are increasing for spares for Taloja. Post that expansion, what kind of revenues or capacities, capacity increase would be done, and what kind of revenues would be possible from that, and CapEx amount for that? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for your questions. In terms of commercialization of the new technologies, for the JEDD, we already have started because this technology is already proved industrially. There is a line existing in Belgium which has already produced more than 1.1 million tons. And this line has showed satisfactory OPEX, CAPEX, and especially features of new products. So we expect and we hope that we will be able to commercialize the first GVD at latest quarter one next year. The second one on Volteron, it will take a little bit more time. We are at the development level TRL-7, which is the last step before commercialization. And this one will take, let's say, between 12 to 24 months to come into let's say, a concrete and real commercial contract. So we will have basically significant revenue and margin contribution coming out of these two products due to the fact that the size of such projects are much larger. JVD is a very complex line involving a lot of extremely high-tech components. And therefore, you can expect relative high order entry on this one. And Volteron is in the field of blast furnace So the CapEx of Volta One is much higher than a blast furnace, but the OpEx are extremely competitive. Nevertheless, this technology, Volta One, is on a different magnitude because we are in the steel making or the iron making field, which is representing 80% of the complete value of the CapEx that a steel mill is investing. In terms of contribution on these technologies, well, this consolidation we are organizing right now will help us to localize these key technologies, which are in an exclusive way, reinforce the positioning of GCL as a leading company in the field of high-tech solution for the steel industry. So that will bring us to be potentially one of the key leaders in the future. The fact that we consolidate worldwide activities under GCL will also allow the company to balance and to play on their global presence, to benefit from high future growing markets, which could be tomorrow Southeast Asia or tomorrow could be US, and not being only linked on India. So that's giving a certain contingency potential for the company to still sustain its revenue and its marginality. And it's giving you the possibility to invest in a global technology company out of India. This kind of company, as Juncocreel India Limited, being global and having leading technologies, is very rare on the market. So this kind of investment instrument is not more than five or four on the Indian market completely. To answer your last question, in terms of service in Taloja, so we are currently doing an investment to coat rolls for furnaces and to do services for the whole installed base of furnaces for processing lines in India. This investment has been done already and will be inaugurated and commissioned first quarter next year. We expect out of these activities 300 volts production capabilities per year and a revenue of at least 3 million per year. So the CapEx for these investments are around 2 million, which has been already paid, budgeted also one part for next year. So this will bring Taloja to increase its added value on the field of service and spare parts. And this is a completely high-level technology service we are offering to the Indian market.
Great. And on the fundraise, sir?
Thank you for your question, sir. Sorry?
Fundraise. We have, I think, mentioned the plan regarding fundraise, right?
Yes.
So what is that for? And so expected use of that, is it for the new technologies or for building capacities for these new technologies or for payment of acquisition? What is the fundraise required for?
Roll coating technology is to, maintain and revamp rolls which are used in furnaces. So the furnaces used for processing lines are on very high temperature, and the strip, which is basically flying inside the furnace, are in contact with walls, which are wear parts, and over time need to be reshaped and revamped. So the technology we are going to offer is offering high durability and high lifetime for these walls for our customers.
Okay.
Thank you very much. The
Thank
next
you.
Question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. One question is, out of the current order book, how much is for the service revamping and spares business? Second thing is, if you can give any update on the MOU with SAIL. So is it at very early stage, or we can expect some orders from that in the near future?
Thank you for your questions. On the order book, service spare parts revamping represents this year for us at least 20 to 25%, which shows a strong improvement compared to last year and giving us very strong confidence on the performance of the team there. In terms of collaboration with SAIL, we have not only excellent collaboration and relationship with SAIL, but we have a strong and solid plan to collaborate, especially to improve their performance in all their different facilities in terms of rolling and processing. And next year will mark the year where we will materialize a few of the strategic developments we have in common.
Okay, and just a couple of things. So given the opportunity which you speak, such a large order book pipeline, then the potential of JVD, potential of Voltron, which will, take our company to the upstream cycle of the steel manufacturing. Given all that and current order book of 1,100 crore, what's your estimate? I mean, over next 3-4 years, can this company have, 6 to 7x of what the current order book, given such a large potential?
The aspiration of the company and the team is extremely ambitious, and we would pretty much like to reach in 2030 8,000 crore. Thanks to new technologies, but not only. External growth is also one of the levers we will try to pursue in the next year to come to support our growth.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Parth Dalal from MM. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Hi. So my question is, India is becoming a hub, but China still remains a cost competitor. So what will be the company's differentiating factor to protect margins while scaling globally?
Thank you for the question. So India is having a very fast momentum, especially on steel. And this is the largest growing steel market nowadays. So India is extremely eager to go to very well advanced products like green steel, like electric steel, which is used for making electrical motors, especially for e-cars and e-two-wheelers, but also on high-strength steels, which are extremely hard material used especially for building lightweight construction or vehicles. So China is a more established mature market, which is rather declining currently, and of course a very strong competitor. The position of the company towards China is that we are already present there. So close to Beijing, we have our headquarters, and the activities we have in China are extremely dynamic currently and with a positive outlook. And hopefully we'll be able to announce very good news out of China soon. So the perspective we have is that we are gaining market share in China as well. And that proves that the relevance and the competitiveness of our solutions also for the Chinese market. So therefore, we don't have so much fear about competitive offering out of China.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Tejas Mehta from Bajaj Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, there are two questions. One is, the purpose of IPO is to make the payment for the acquisition, or how is the company planning to make the payment for the acquisition? Will it be from the cash flow of the companies, which would be around 100 crores per year? So, and until then, will it be a debt in the books from the parent, and will it be accruing interest, and how it will be? I mean.
Thank you. So, first of all, the intention of the promoter is really to support GCL to become a global leader and a champion with the headquarter in Mumbai in the field technology. So in terms of payment acquisition, the promoter has accommodated GCL with very comfortable payment terms, and the acquisition will be therefore paid over a period of 5 years with a debt without applying any interest fee. And this debt will be at termination convertible, if not fully paid, into shares. That shows the strong commitment that the promoter has into GCL and the willingness to contribute to build not only a big and great champion, but a profitable champion within India.
Great. And the purpose for the IPO is for CAPEX in the new technologies that you are planning?
Say again, please.
So, fundraising plans are, what are the funds that will be raised, used for?
So, the fundraising plan is something we are considering for the future. We don't consider on the short term to need any fundraising to make the current acquisitions we are planning with John Cochrane. That will most probably come on a later stage, especially when we will identify and propose to the board new acquisition for GCL.
Okay. And last question is, are there any CAPEX plan in any of the subsidiaries that will become, the companies that will become subsidiaries of the, post the structure change? And will there be guarantees involved?
Not at this stage.
No, sir. Okay. Okay. Great, sir. Thank you so much.
No specific CAPEX plan outside India. The biggest CAPEX planning we have will be within India.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
The next question is from the line of Aditya Chedda from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers, and I wish the entire John Cochrane team all the best for their vision of integrating the global metals business in India. I have two questions. One is, what would be their your typical order execution cycle for the orders that you have in hand? And the second is on, what would be the typical working capital cycle for the business, as the numbers are slightly lumpy for the last 2-3 years? If you can help us understand that better, it would be helpful.
Sure. Thank you. So for on the execution cycle, projects like the one we have signed this year and I mentioned during my presentation are a cycle between 12 to 18 months, basically. Closer to 18 months. And these execution cycles are made of, let's say, basic layout design and engineering of the plant, then detailed design of the equipment, then purchase, manufacturing of the equipment, delivering to site, and then installing, assembling, and commissioning the line till achievement of the performance. And this cycle is, as I said, around about 15 to 18 months. On the working capital cycle for the business, this will, of course, the need of working capital will for sure increase. But since we are extremely keen on keeping our working capital on a reasonable level, the payment terms we usually ask to our customers are positive, allowing us to keep a positive cash flow at any time of the project, as we consider that financing the project is not John Cockerill India Limited's task, but rather the customer who has to finance the project. And therefore, we rather usually have a negative working capital effect of around 10% of sales. That's the historical value.
Perfect. And about the last 2 years' cash flow conversion, are there any one-offs that you would want to highlight, or it should normalize in the current calendar year?
I think it will pretty much normalize in the next calendar year due to the fact that we have a positive perspective for the future.
Great. That's it from my end. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. I don't know if my colleagues Marc Dumont and Frédéric Martin have any comments to add. If not, I would like to thank you for your attention, listening, and continued support. The congratulation message I have received will be conveyed to the employees, the management, and the team, and thank you heartily for that. And looking forward to exchange with you again during the next investor call. Thank you again, and wish you a great day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of John Cockerill India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.